Hey there, welcome to Line Number 36. I'm Jessica Hoddle, your host, and today we have a special guest, Amber Collum, and we're talking about this idea that there is no value in comparison. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. And when I started talking with Amber, it was kind of this fresh take on truth and lies. And we don't often say that we compare and contrast in the Bible, but we are doing that. We're looking at the life of Jesus and we're saying, how am I becoming more like him? We look at our life and we look at his and we start to contrast it, where we start to compare it. And I love this fresh view that Amber begins to share. She not only shares this view and we go deeper into this idea that this lie that there is no value in comparison to show us that there is value, because we tend to bend towards this negative idea of comparison, don't we? We just think every time we hear the word comparison, our brains, well, at least mine, will go to negative, danger, danger, stop comparing, stop comparing. But it can also just be a natural ebb and flow of our life where we compare and contrast. Is this the truth or is this a lie? And I love that Amber really also gives examples of this so that you can practically understand but also apply. And just a little bit about Amber, and she's going to share more of her story, but she is a wife, a mom, and she's also a fellow podcaster, just encouraging other believers to share their story and their testimony, all for the glory of God. Let's go ahead and get to this interview. Amber, I'm so excited that you're here today. We get to talk about this idea that there is no value in comparison, which I'm really excited about. I feel like it's a fresh take on this idea of truth in lies. And when we hear comparison, we often go to, at least I went to, even when we were going back and forth in conversation, to this idea that comparison is always bad because of the fruit it produces, in a sense of comparing myself to somebody else or works or whatever it is, just how dangerous it is. But what you're going to share with us today, which I'm really excited about, is this idea that there is value in compare and contrasting. And we learn that in a very young age. And I want women to be able to really just have this fresh revelation. So Amber, why don't you share with us why this lie that women may be believing and why it's important to you?
Yeah. So I feel like as a woman, married, single, young, old, working mom, no matter what, we always fall prey to this idea of comparison. And so it's always something we hear over and over again. Don't compare yourself to this person. God's gifted them in this way, but he's not gifted you in that way. And I'm the type of person that I'm like, but why is that? Why is it not that, you know, why did he gift them in this way? Or why did they look that way and I don't? But more of like, why should we not compare? What's the reasoning, the root behind that? And so I heard Abigail Dodds say, actually she wrote it in an article, and she wrote, comparison is a fundamental part of being human because it's how we acquaint ourselves with reality. And that really set me on this search for like, why do we compare? And it took me back to when we're kids, you know, we get this worksheet in school and it's got two pictures, a dog and a cat. And we have to answer, how are these alike and how are these different? We get a little bit older, we get this sheet of paper and it's got two objects. And now it's asking you, you know, if anybody remembers what a Venn diagram is, I mean, they're super popular on social media, but that is almost all the time about comparing and contrasting. You know, how does this object look different? And then everything that's in the same goes in the middle of the circles where they overlap. And so we're taught this idea from a really young age that we compare and contrast things in order to understand the reality around us. Who's safe, who's not safe? Why do we do that? We have to compare what is safe, what's not safe in order to know what reality is. Why do we prefer you know, I'm trying to think, why do we prefer lifting weights to running? Well, maybe it's because we compare and contrast the difference. One person's body loves that endurance and that working towards this end goal, whereas the other person may value more weight training because they like to see their body change. And so that's one of the biggest things I started thinking about. Like, we compare and contrast good and bad things all the time. And it's also weaved throughout God's word, which is something I think we're going to talk a little bit about.
No, that's good. And where did this come for you, though? You know, where did this message on your heart, how did it start to stir? Did you have this experience? I know that that quote you shared, that, you know, that it, that was maybe a revelation or this kind of fresh view, like I said, but where did this start for you? Why is this important for you to share? Can you share a little bit more of your story with that?
Yeah. I mean, I, like so many people, have spent time comparing myself and letting that lead me down a path of negativity. Particularly the example that really comes to mind is when I first started having children, we lived in Tampa. And Tampa, where we lived in the city, is a really wealthy area. And so I would go into these homes and I would find myself just looking around and being like, oh, we don't have, you know, we'll never own a home like this. We'll never be able to afford. And all of a sudden, you know, your thoughts, taking those thoughts captive. Well, I knew that was what I needed to do, but I mean, all of a sudden the freight train is just going out of control, right? And it didn't matter how many times I would tell myself, don't compare myself, I would still find myself doing it and almost making excuses for, you know, well, maybe they're just spending their money unwisely, or who knows, they may be in debt. And those were also lies because I don't know that about them at all. And so I think that's part of what really prompted me to dig into this whole idea of comparison and why we do it.
No, that's good.
I don't know if that, you know, really answers your question, no, but that is the biggest thing.
Yeah. And I think that's true for a lot of us, you know, of just this idea that often we look at comparison as such a negative thing, but we can also use comparison as a point of a turning point for us. You know, like, yes, you were just saying, I don't know their life, which is like, you know, we obviously just assume something bad so that we make ourselves feel better too. Like,
that's,
oh, they're probably just in debt, you know,
yeah, which is
like, well, they can still have good stuff. I have good stuff, you know? And so it's just compare and contrast. And so I would love for you to even dive more into the Romans 12:2 idea inside of this, of not being, you know, transformed or be transformed, but not conformed to the world, and what that looks like as far as truth and lies, maybe in everyday life, and just give examples.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we first have to ask ourselves the question, how do we know what is the truth and how do we know what is a lie? Well, for me, myself, I ascribe to a biblical worldview, and so I determine what is truth and a lie based on what the Bible says. And so in, you know, Romans 12:2, we are commanded to not be conformed to this world. But how do we do that? Well, the verse goes on to say, by the renewing of your mind, and by that renewing, then we can test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, if you think about the words test and approve, that is a form of comparing and contrasting, right? Like, we have to look and say, okay, what did Jesus do? And if I compare myself to him, am I walking in his ways? What am I doing differently than him? And how can I align my life to him in order to be more like him? That is a form of comparing and contrasting yourself. And so it's not necessarily a bad thing to really consider other people around you, because maybe it's this idea that you want to compare yourself, or you're like, oh my goodness, she's so amazing. She wakes up every morning and does her quiet time. Like, I could never do that. Well, what is it about that person that makes you look up to them? Is it that they do have this morning quiet time? Maybe morning's not the best thing for you, but you want to, like, you know, not worry so much about how they're practicing, but instead more adopt their principle. Their principle is, I want to be in God's word. How can you go to that person maybe and say, you know what, I really admire how disciplined you are in this area of your life. You know, do you have any advice for me and how I can model that? And that is a form of comparison and contrasting that's very, very healthy if we just don't let our mind go down. You know, we renew our mind with, what is this person doing that's really good?
Yeah.
And how can I emulate that?
Mm. No, I think that's, I love that, because it's just also, it's the heart motive. What is the purpose of this? And how, what is that good? It's really just seeing the good in others and not looking at them as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you think, so going with the threat of that, where do you think this lie comes from, in a sense of, in our own hearts? Where do you think, why do you think we tend to bend towards just that negative, you know, that negative view of comparison?
Well, I think, I mean, if we look and we say, it's very natural to assess the world around us, right? Like, that's a very natural thing. Even if it is, like, we actually even learn negative behaviors that way. I mean, the reality is, we'll say, oh, you know, don't judge people. But I mean, when you see the murderer, there's a reason why we don't want to be like them. I mean, that's just fact, right? So that's a way of, well, I want to compare and contrast in that, because there is good and bad. But the problem is not so much in the assessing. The problem is in our sin nature and how we take something that examines our reality, this comparison and contrasting, and how, and we ascribe to it one of two things, one of two overarching things. And that's usually, I'm better than, or I don't measure up. And that is where that lie bubbles up, is because it's in our sin nature to either be prideful and say, I'm better than that person or that circumstance, or I don't measure up and there's just absolutely nothing I'm going to be able to do. And that's just part of that sin nature, that no matter how hard you fight it, it's there. And that goes back to that whole renewing of your mind. Like, what do we do when we start to compare? How do we walk forward in that in a way that's healthy and points us towards godliness and holiness instead of despair and pride?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's sometimes we think that we forget that we're dead to sin. You know, Jesus died for our sins, but doesn't give us permission to sin. And I think we forget that sometimes, that to focus on, we just kind of use that as an excuse. Well, I have a sinful nature and I can just do these things and I can't help it. And, you know, all these kind of excuses that we tend to bend towards. So let's walk into that Ephesians 5:1. You know, we were discussing this a little bit. What does that look like, living out this comparison? And I love how you went into, we were talking about, we look to the word and we look at Jesus and we often go, how did Jesus live? What did he do? Did he heal the sick? How did he heal the sick? What did he lay hands? Did he do all these things? How did he speak the truth in love? How did he have righteous anger? And I love that you're saying, well, we're also comparing and contrasting our lives to the words, that we can begin to live like Jesus. So go, can you explain more of that and go into that a little bit more detail?
Yeah. So Ephesians 5:1 says that we are, you know, one version says we are to follow God's example. But the version I really like is to be imitators of Christ. And I'll just read that whole first verse. It says, be imitators of Christ, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the ways of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so that can be just a whole mouthful of stuff, right? But if we really break it down, the question comes back to, how do we follow God's example? And, you know, that's the desire of our heart as a believer, or I hope so. You know, we hope that that's what we're doing. And so we, like you said, we compare our life to Christ and those things. But some ways that we do follow God's example is, we have to study his word. Like, we have to get in the word and know the word and walk in the word in order to actually be transformed, in order to let our comparison actually have fruit. We also, you know, we want to do the commands that he puts out in scripture for us. And it's really easy to read one part and look at it from a legalistic perspective. But if you have to read really the whole canon of scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and I'm not saying you can't make progress with reading little portions. I don't mean that at all. But I mean, like, God's word is this thing that you read over a lifetime. And no matter how many times you read it over and over again, there is something new. And so that just adds layers to our faith, and we're becoming more and more Christ-like, hopefully, when we're comparing ourselves to Christ versus comparing ourselves to man. And then really just walking, you know, in that way of love. And so the only way we can really do that is through practice. But also, you know, how did Jesus act out love? How did he do that? Well, we cannot know that unless we actually look at what he's doing and do it. And that just takes some real practical steps. It may be something as simple as you invite someone over for a meal, to as complicated as you're really like digging into someone's family life and providing for their daily needs. And so I know that's a long story, but those are some of the things that I would say.
Yeah, I think it's so good because we love scriptures like that. You know, even Paul said, be imitator of me as I imitate Christ. Mm-hmm. And he's not saying to imitate himself. He's just saying, like, basically what Ephesians 5:1 is saying, like, let's be imitators of God. And to do that, we have to know what that looks like. And yeah. So I love that beautiful example. It's one of my favorite scriptures because it always reminds me that it doesn't matter what it looks like to other people.
Yeah,
I can read the scripture for myself and go, how did he handle this? How did he handle forgiveness? What did he say about giving? What did he say? Because then I can imitate those actions, those responses to my heart. And that really is comparing and contrasting, isn't it? But we never say that. We don't say, well, I'm going to compare myself to scripture. You know, we just say how am I living up to this, or how am I becoming, and you know, all of that. And I think it's just a fresh view of how we can just kind of take back even some ground that the enemy kind of tried to take from us in this.
Well, that's the thing that I really feel like is the enemy, particularly in our post-Christian world, he has really stole a lot of language. And comparison is one of those things because it can be really, really dangerous ground. But it's such, if we would just learn to take the word and the concept and apply it in such a way to where we are growing in holiness and godliness, everything changes. But what I have learned in my Christian walk is someone just looking at me and saying, don't compare yourself. It's the thief of joy. That doesn't do anything to renew my mind. Yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't. I have to have some action, some steps to move forward in that.
Yeah. And just the idea of give me the truth. What is the truth? You know, or instead of tell me what not to do, tell me what the truth is. Tell me what to focus on instead of focusing on not this. You know, not getting this thing stolen from me. And I love that you said the dangers. So let's go ahead into that.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead into the dangers part as far as fruits and the dangers and how to actually have a healthy relationship with this idea of comparison and contrasting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing that you have to ask yourself, right? Like, well, how do I have this healthy relationship with comparison without completely taking it off the table? And so the first thing I think you have to do is identify the dangers, identify the bad fruits of comparison. And so probably somebody that's listening right now, there may be a couple of things that pop in your head, things like pride, envy. Those are the two big ones for me. And those go back to those overarching statements of I'm better than, or I don't measure up. Some other things are shame and resentment. That resentment towards people in our lives who have things that look different than what we have, or gifts that are different than us, or strengths, discouragement, discontentment. And so those are some of the dangers. So we have to always be aware of that. But then what could be some of the benefits or good fruit of comparison? And so I always challenge people, you know, this is a good time when you're thinking about comparison, make those lists of good fruit and bad fruit that could come from it. And some of the good fruit, you know, when we compare ourselves, sometimes it helps us to implement healthy routines. Mm-hmm. And that's not just healthy routines when it comes to eating and fitness. That's healthy routines when it comes to maybe how we organize our house. Just yesterday, a friend of mine reached out to me about a podcast episode I had done on Sabbath. And she said, you know, we were able to implement this in our family. It was so simple. Thank you for doing that. And I immediately voice messaged her back and said, I'm so glad you shared that with me because that was so helpful. Now, if you can help me figure out how to get my kid, like how to get my kids in a routine of chores, I would be so grateful for that because I know she has like 7 kids. And so that's a really good strength of hers. And so we were able to just, you know, implement a healthier routine all because we kind of were comparing and contrasting our lives a little bit and what she does well and what I do well and what I don't do. And then another thing is a good fruit, it can help us become more self-controlled. And, you know, that is a fruit of the spirit. But fruit of the spirit doesn't just mean that all the bountiful fruit shows up in one day. It's on the vine, but it's ripening at different times. And so just that idea that we can become more self-controlled, it can help in providing a vision for us. You know, a vision that is possible for what can be down the road for you. It motivates us to change a lot of times. And then it helps us mostly to model Jesus. I mean, we have this perfect model. We all want to be like him. But so often when we see people around us who are modeling him, we can become really jealous of them instead of, like I said earlier, looking at, you know, what's the person's principles that make them a lot like Christ? And how can I adopt those in a practice that works for my life? So that's kind of the way that I look at, you know, good fruit, bad fruit of comparison.
I know. I love those examples. I'm always an example girl. What is this?
Me too.
I think a lot of us are, we're spending that way because we're all on social media and we have all these things and we just see photos. So it's like, no, I want you to tell me with your words, what does this look like? What does this mean? Give me a further example. And I think that to kind of wrap this conversation up, it really comes down to heart check.
Yeah.
Motive. Can you just leave us with encouragement with that of
absolutely
ideas or steps or things that you really want us to kind of lean toward and to take with us moving forward?
Yeah. So once you really identify what can be some of those good and bad fruits, so now you can say, okay, it's safe to compare in some circumstances, but how do I actually do that? Well, it comes down to this heart check. So as soon as you notice in your mind that you're comparing, and I mean, I had to do this yesterday as I saw a photo of somebody, you know, in their bikini, they got their 3 kids and their abs of steel. And I'm like over here, not with abs of steel with my 3 kids. And, you know, the heart check is, why am I comparing? That's the first thing you got to ask yourself. Why? What is motivating me to compare here? And then the second thing is that comparison breeding sinful behavior, or is it motivating me towards godliness, towards change? And I mean, that immediately in your brain shifts your neural pathways. Like, sorry, I can turn into like, you know, a neurophysiology nerd. It just shifts your brain. Like there's true brain change that happens when you just ask a question a different way. And so, you know, is it pointing you toward sinful behavior, or is it pointing you toward godliness? And then after you answer that question, you have to ask, like, is this fulfilling my purpose to glorify God? And so that seems like a really long list, but I have learned that when I start practicing these types of things, you can go through that stuff in like a couple of seconds. It's just like anything else. Once you train your brain to identify what you're doing, and you get these certain things, you can run through that in literally a matter of minutes and then decide, you know what, this is pure jealousy, run away. Mm-hmm. Or, oh my goodness, you know, that person can totally alter their body and they just decided that they're going to work hard. It's not like they're doing nothing. to alter their body. It doesn't change by itself. So if you really want that, then you have to set goals to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I go through.
Mm, yeah. No, I think I'm always a question asker too, because I think it gives us this ability to dig deeper of what is my heart motive? What is it that I am pursuing? Is it greed? Because they have
what
I think that I should have. And I love that you are opening this up for this kind of just healthy view of it. And I think most of that comes with healing of our heart to be able to even mm-hmm. see the goodness in somebody else.
For sure.
Be able to point that out.
For sure.
So thank you for just sharing that with us. And I love closing out an episode with asking the guest, what lie have you been believing that you are speaking truth to? And it doesn't have to involve this lie at all. Just whatever currently in your life that the enemy keeps throwing your way that you're just like, nope, not believing.
Yeah. I mean, because I am a mother of three, and we are probably by the time this episode comes out, we won't be in quarantine anymore. But the biggest thing right now is this idea that I'm just not maximizing every moment with my children at home. And because of that, I must be failing. And so I know that's a lie. And I have spent a lot of time not just writing out ways that I am being successful, because this is not just about me, you know, patting myself on the back, but speaking truth, like, you don't have to be in your children's face every moment of every day to be doing a good job. You don't have to be perfect at this in order to be a good mother. You know, those types of things. God has given you these three children, and He is sanctifying all of you in the process. You apologize to your kids when you fail, and they're going to learn a lot more about grace instead of perfection through that anyway. So that has been, I mean, you know, when you're with your family 24 hours a day, we make mistakes.
No, and since I'm not a mom, I think just hearing that for other moms out there, they can probably raise their hand. Maybe they're nodding and going, okay, yeah, me too. And again, it's just that reminder, hey, we're not alone. We all go through these things. We all experience these feelings, but really what is the truth? And then we can work through them. We can embrace the tension of the joy and the suffering and of, you know, the truth and the lie as it encounters more and more truth, right?
Yeah.
So where do you want people to continue this conversation with you?
Yeah, well, I am over on Instagram. That's probably where I hang out the most. And that's graceenoughpodcast_Amber. I do love to just interact with people there. That's something about podcasting. And Jessica, you probably can attest to this. You know, you don't get to interact with your listeners unless they jump on social media and just say, hey, you know, I listened to this episode, or I like what you said, or I heard you, you know, on Jessica's podcast. And so that is where. And then if you get the inkling, you can listen to my podcast, Grace Enough. It comes out every Tuesday. So that'd be great.
Awesome. And I'll have the links to all that below. So thank you, Amber, so much for just hanging out with us today and speaking truth to this. I think we really need it in a healthy way and not just bending toward, you know, the enemy and all the lies that we tend to believe. And we can look at this very subjectively without the emotion and be able to evaluate what is really going on. What is it that my heart needs? And maybe how can my sister help me in this?
That's right.
Too, because she has gifts that I don't. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
P.S. One more thing. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough, then my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, is for you. If you knew what you were worth, would you settle for anything less? It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, your body, relationships, or your finances. You will discover gems to apply in your own life as I take you through my own journey of how I was able to overcome the unthinkable by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but to God. In this book, I really walk you through the how-to of stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain. Find the tools you need to be successful in life. Realize you are beautiful just the way you are. Refuse to settle for anything less than what's God's best for your life. And recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future.